and welcome to Seeking the Gospel Truth. I'm Giselle Aguiar. You know, the more I study the Bible, the more I realize that every single book, from Genesis to Revelation, all point to Jesus. In the Old Testament, Jesus is predicted. In the New Testament, he is revealed, preached, explained, and expected. You find him everywhere because Jesus is the hero of the entire Bible. I've covered most of the New Testament, and you can find those studies on my blog. This next series is a hunt for Jesus in the Old Testament. It's how God's story becomes our story when we invite him into our lives. It will help us get to know God better, more intimately. And that's what he wants. He wants a relationship with us. Yes, you and me. I pray that as you hear this message, it will inspire you to study the Bible daily for yourself. Seek the truth. I pray that God opens your heart, eyes, and mind to study what his Spirit is trying to tell you. And as you become rooted in the Word, you'll also be rooted in hope, joy, and peace. Let's dig in. Jesus in Leviticus, finale. Obey God and be blessed. Disobey and face God's wrath. In the last two chapters of Leviticus, God details what happens when the people obey and disobey his rules. God made a covenant, an agreement with the Israelites. It's a binding contract. Then he gave them the terms of the agreement through Moses. God keeps his promises. If you obey the laws, you will be blessed. If you disobey, break the covenant agreement and face the consequences. And it's interesting how the number 7 is featured here. Why do we need to read this? Because we are human sinners, breaking God's laws every day. We are doomed to suffer punishment in hell. Enter Jesus, our Savior, to take our sevenfold punishment for us. Let's dig in. We're in Leviticus 26. Do not make idols or set up carved images or sacred pillars or sculptured stones in your land so you may worship them. I am the Lord your God. You must keep my Sabbath days of rest and show reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you follow my decrees and careful to obey my commands, I will send you the seasonal rains. The land will then yield its crops and the trees of the field will produce their fruit. Your threshing season will overlap with the grape harvest and your grape harvest will overlap with the season of planting grain. You will eat your fill and live securely in your land. I will give you peace in the land and you will be able to sleep with no cause for fear. I will rid the land of wild animals and keep your enemies out of your land. In fact, you will chase down your enemies and slaughter them with your swords. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. All your enemies will fall beneath your sword. I will look favorably upon you, making you fertile and multiplying your people, and I will fulfill my covenant with you. You will have such a surplus of crops that you will need to clear out the old grain to make room for the new harvest. I will live among you, and I will not despise you. I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt so you would no longer be their slaves. I broke the yoke of slavery from your neck so you can walk with your heads held high. Here's some things to think about. Notice how he starts with idolatry. God knows everything, and he knows that they will disobey and turn to idols. But look at the list of blessings. Seasonal rain, no floods or drought. Crops and fruit, plenty to eat. Live securely, peace, no fear, no wild animals, no enemies. A small army will defeat a large army, and this actually happens. Multiply the people and surplus of crops. And he reminds them that he brought them out of slavery in Egypt. And you'll see how quickly the generations forget. So what happens if they don't obey? Then we have the punishments for disobedience in verse 14. However, if you do not listen to me or obey all these commands, and if you break my covenant by rejecting my decrees, treating my regulations with contempt and refusing to obey my commands, I will punish you. I will bring sudden terrors upon you. wasting diseases and burning fevers that will cause your eyes to fail and your life to ebb away. You will plant your crops in vain because your enemies will eat them. I will turn against you and you will be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you and you will run even when no one is chasing you. And if, in spite of all this, you still disobey me, I will punish you seven times over for your sins. I will break your proud spirit by making the skies as unyielding as iron and the earth as hard as bronze. All your work will be for nothing, for your land will yield no crops and your trees will bear no fruit. If even then you remain hostile toward me and refuse to obey me, I will inflict disaster on you seven times over for your sins. I will send wild animals that will rob you of your children and destroy your livestock. Your numbers will dwindle and your roads will be deserted. And if you fail to learn the lesson and continue your hostility toward me, then I myself will be hostile toward you. I will personally strike you with calamity seven times over for your sins. I will send armies against you to carry out the curse of the covenant you have broken. When you run into your towns for safety, I will send the plague to destroy you there, and you will be handed over to your enemies. I will destroy your food supply so that 10 women will need only one oven to break bread for their families. They will ration your food by weight, and though you have food to eat, you will not be satisfied. If in spite of all this, you still refuse to listen and still remain hostile toward me, then I will give full vent to my hostility. Wow. I myself will punish you seven times over for your sins. Then you will eat the flesh of your own sons and daughters. I will destroy your pagan shrines and knock down your places of worship. I will leave your lifeless corpses piled up on top of your lifeless idols, and I will despise you. I will make your cities desolate and destroy your places of pagan worship. I will take no pleasure in your offerings that should be a pleasing aroma to me. Yes, I myself will devastate your land, and your enemies who come to occupy it will be appalled at what they see. I will scatter you among the nations and bring out my sword against you. He did that too. Your land will become desolate and your cities will lie in ruins. And that happened also. Then at last the land will enjoy its neglected Sabbath years as it lies desolate while you are in exile in the land of your enemies. Then the land will finally rest and enjoy the Sabbaths it missed. As long as the land lies in ruins, it will enjoy the rest you never allowed it to take every seventh year while you lived it. And for those who survive, I will demoralize you in the land of your enemies. You will live in such fear that the sound of a leaf driven by the wind will send you fleeing. You will run as though fleeing from a sword, and you will fall even when no one pursues you. Though no one is chasing you, you will stumble over each other as though fleeing from a sword. You will have no power to stand up against your enemies. You will die among the foreign nations and be devoured in the land of your enemies. Those of you who survive will waste away in your enemies' lands because of their sins and the sins of their ancestors. Wow. Considering everything that's happened to the Jews since then, makes you want to stop and think. God means what he says. Verse 40, but at last my people will confess their sins and the sins of their ancestors for betraying me and being hostile toward me. When I have turned their hostility back on them and brought them to the land of their enemies, then at last their stubborn hearts will be humbled and they will pay for their sins. Then I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. For the land must be abandoned to enjoy its years of Sabbath rest as it lies deserted. At last the people will pay for their sins, for they have continually rejected my regulations and despised my decrees. But despite all this, I will not utterly reject or despise them while they are in exile in the land of their enemies. I will not cancel my covenant with them by wiping them out, for I am the Lord their God. For their sakes, I will remember my ancient covenant with their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of all nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the decrees, regulations, and instructions that the Lord gave through Moses on Mount Sinai as evidence of the relationship between himself and the Israelites. Well, God here is basically telling them how they will disobey him and what will happen to them. The covenant is with the Israelites at that time and all the generations following. The problem will be that the subsequent generations will disobey and break just about every rule that God laid out. In chapter 27, God details regulations regarding vows and the dedication of people, animals, and property. I'll not bore you with the first part, but you can click on over to my blog and read it there if you want to. We pick up in the final verses of Leviticus in verse 30. 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. If you want to buy back the Lord's 10th of grain or fruit, you must pay its value plus 20%. Count off every 10th animal from your herds and flocks and set them apart for your Lord as holy. You may not pick and choose between good and bad animals, and you may not substitute one for another. But if you do exchange one animal for another, then both the original animal and its substitute will be considered holy and cannot be bought back. These are the commands that the Lord gave through Moses on Mount Sinai for the Israelites. So this is actually where we get the whole 10% tithing thing. God expects us to give him 10% off the top of our income, not the leftovers. God doesn't need money or animals or grain or fruit. No, he wants to see our obedience and gratitude for his blessings towards us. He loves a cheerful giver. So where does Jesus fit in all this? Again, I turn to the Bible study, Jesus in all of Leviticus, from Spoken Gospel from the free YouVersion Bible app. And that reads, the sacrificial system Leviticus has described doesn't stand on its own. It's part of a larger covenant between Israel and God. The covenant was made in Exodus, Exodus 19, verse 5, by the way. If Israel obeyed God's commands, he would dwell with them, make them into a great nation, and bring them into the promised land. If Israel obeys God's commands, they will be richly blessed. They will live safely in the promised land with God and ample physical provisions. But if the people break the covenant, God will break out against them multiple times. God says he will avenge them sevenfold for their sins. He will kick them out of the land, bring their enemies against them, and they will die. In fact, the specificity of the punishment makes it seem like this is exactly what will happen. But God offers a lifeline to this future people. He says that if they repent and soften their hearts towards God, he will return them to the land and bless them once again. Now, God says that even though his people will utterly forsake him, God will still keep the covenant. He will bring them back despite their sin. He will change their hearts no matter how hard they are. He will give them life no matter how close to death they come. This is God's vow to his people. So where is the gospel in this? Well, later in their story, Israel was in exile. Enemies occupied their land. But in this dire season, God did not abandon his people. Instead, he did the opposite. He came in the flesh and actually lived with them. He pitched a different tent, the tabernacle of his human body, in the person of Jesus. Jesus accomplished absolutely everything prescribed in the book of Leviticus. He was the final offering, the final day of atonement, and the ultimate covenant keeper. Yet, he who kept the covenant for us did not receive the blessings described in this passage. Instead, he received our sevenfold curses. This number seven should remind us of at least two things in Jesus' ministry. He taught that he was bringing the final year of Jubilee, which was the seven times seven, seventh year in Israel's calendar. He also taught that we must forgive seven times seven when people sin against us. Jesus takes our sevenfold punishment so that he could give us seven times seven blessings and forgiveness. Now we who are in exile anywhere on this earth, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter how unrepentant and hard our hearts are, we can come to Jesus, put our hand on him through faith, and receive all the covenant blessings of God. We can be present with God. He will give us every spiritual blessing in Christ, and we will live with him forever in the new heavens and the new earth. That is so nice. Again, so that's from Jesus in all of Leviticus by Spoken Gospel. And the link to their website is in my blog. And also at the bottom of today's blog, I have a video from them just kind of doing an overall overall description of Leviticus. So we as humans can never be perfect. That is why, because God loved us so much, he sent his only son to be the final sacrifice for us. He was perfect where we could never be, and he suffered so we wouldn't have to. Only through Jesus can we be saved from God's wrath that is in store for all sinners. The good news is that Jesus' salvation is available to everyone who comes to him sincerely with a repentant heart. If you're not sure if you're saved or not, if you truly want to be born again and have the assurance of salvation, receive the Holy Spirit and get a one-way, nonstop ticket to heaven, and that you won't be left behind at the rapture, what you have to do is believe, repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit, and invite Jesus into your heart. Receive the gift and confident hope of eternal life. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. And our next journey is through the book of Numbers, also written by Moses. We'll journey with the Israelites through the wilderness. So subscribe so you don't miss out. Again, Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. Thank you for listening to this episode. I pray that the Holy Spirit, the author of Scripture, touched your heart to reveal the gospel truth that our hope of salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to reach out to me via my website or social media. I encourage you to read the Bible daily and seek the truth for yourself. I recommend that you download 2 free Bible study apps, the YouVersion Bible app and Through the Word. Friends, we are living in strange, crazy times, the last days, the end times. But know that things aren't falling apart, they are falling into place. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20-22, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Jesus is knocking. It's up to you to open the door." Peter told us in 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed or perish, but wants everyone to repent. Jesus is coming back soon. Are you ready? Repent of your sins and invite Jesus into your heart right now. If you don't know what to say, there's a prayer in the show notes and on my blog. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, "And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come." Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory.